This is the Annie Fry Show.
All I can say is that when I think about Bobby carries my father's name, and throughout his campaign, he relied on Daddy's images and Uncle Jack's images to promote that campaign. So he has an extra duty to protect their values and their vision. And were he alive today, the real Robert Kennedy would have detested almost everything Donald Trump represents.
Well, there you have Carrie Kennedy really insulting her brother, correct? Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr., for his support of Donald Trump. And, you know, I always find it interesting when you listen to, especially like a family like this, talk about the family name. And here you have Carrie Kennedy talking about what the family name is and really being the purveyor of what it gets to be and not gets to be. Why would RFK Jr. not be afforded that same right? It is, in fact, his name as well. Let's talk to our friend Droy Murdoch about it. It's been quite a week. He is a nationally syndicated columnist and a Fox News contributor and our friend here on The Annie Fry Show. Droy, welcome back. There's always so much that happens in between our conversations, and the RFK Jr. announcement is no short of a big headline.
Yeah, maybe we should talk twice a day. That would allow us to keep up with what's exactly going on around us. Yeah, you know, last we spoke, the idea that RFK would endorse Donald J. Trump was another, you know, a hallucination, another fantasy. And guess what? It happened. And it's really quite astonishing to see a Kennedy endorse the Republican nominee for President of the United States. I mean, that by itself is astonishing. And for it to be RFK Jr., not just putting out a press release, but showing up at a rally and standing up in public with him and hugging him and all that. You know, that's not something you see every day. Let's put it like that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a millennial. I was not alive during the Kennedy years. I don't remember from my own personal experience the Kennedy assassination, but I've been talking to a lot of people who do remember that and are really blown away by the thought of a Kennedy endorsing a Republican and Donald Trump. It seems to be very impactful for a lot of people who are watching this race unfold, very unsure about Kamala Harris, because the only things we know about her is all the incredibly far leftist things she said before. She hasn't really followed up on those in this campaign. What does it mean to see a Kennedy, to you, Droy, endorse Donald Trump, a president who is running as a Republican?
Yeah, it's really quite a surprise. Not just a Republican, but I think very conservative Republican. People will look back at his record of reducing taxes, deregulation, right to try, energy independence, peace through strength. I mean, these are very conservative, I'd say, Reaganite approaches. So this isn't like he's endorsing Mitch McConnell or Daddy Bush for president or something like that. This is a very conservative Republican who he's endorsing for president, which makes it even more surprising. But, you know, I've made the point that his family is screaming and yelling at him and saying, how dare he, and all that. But this also is not John F. Kennedy's Democrat Party. This is not RFK's Democrat Party. This isn't even Obama's Democrat Party anymore. I mean, you've got Kamala Harris, who's the woman who advocated defunding the police, ripping the border wide open while she was the border's arena with 10 million illegal aliens running across. She says she's advocated the end of private insurance, health insurance, and having us all live under a Medicare for all in a British-style socialist medicine system. She's got a running mate, Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who just recently installed tampon machines in boys' rooms in schools from grades 4 through 12. Can you imagine JFK and RFK saying, let's have tampons in boys' rooms? I mean, it's just unthinkable that these guys, the idea wouldn't even have entered even as something to reject. It wouldn't have been brought up. So this is not the JFK or RFK Democrat Party, not by a few light years. So his family's upset because he's not endorsing a party that neither JFK nor RFK would even recognize.
Droy, what do you make of Donald Trump's very intentional effort to bring in RFK Jr. and now Tulsi Gabbard this week has endorsed Donald Trump as well? I mean, I hope that there are more people that are moving towards this idea of a unity government. But what do you think Donald Trump's ultimate goal is by bringing those individuals in during this campaign?
Well, I think it does a couple things. One is, when you're running for the general, not the primary election, but the general election, you want to some degree either move to the center or show that you're open to people in the center, or maybe somewhere to the left of where a right-wing nominee will be, and try to bring in some Democrats and independents, and to the degree that it shows those folks that he's open to their views and welcomes them into the tent, that's a big positive. And frankly, we had people in the Reagan administration. He had a number of Democrats who served in his cabinet. I think Jean Kirkpatrick, for example, was a Democrat. She served as his quite ably as his United Nations ambassador. I think there are roles for Tulsi Gabbard as potentially a defense secretary, which would be quite impressive. And I think RFK, I'm writing a piece and working on that will be out probably tomorrow or the next day. I think an excellent place for him would be to run a presidential commission focused on restoring free speech and identifying all the folks in the government who went after him and other people, censored them, people in the White House and elsewhere in the Biden-Harris administration, putting pressure on Silicon Valley social media companies like Facebook and Twitter to block comments and statements and even the accounts of people with whom they disagreed, ranging from the Hunter Biden laptop story, which, as you know, they squelched, and Facebook and Twitter were warned by the FBI, oh, this is Russian disinformation, which turns out it was, and it was actually an actual real laptop, which was used in the federal case against Hunter Biden by the Department of Justice. And these folks who did this violated the First Amendment. Any public employees, federal employees who did this sort of thing, I think ought to be fired at once. And if they are attorneys, they should be disbarred. Their licenses should be shredded. And if these people broke federal statutes, and they probably did, they'd be prosecuted for this. And if they're convicted, they ought to go to jail. And I think RFK Jr.'s just the exactly perfect right guy to lead that effort and expose all this, put it all on the record, and then name names and make sure that people who engaged in this, I think, totalitarian, frankly, behavior pay some serious consequences and get the punishment they deserve for this extremely un-American and anti-American behavior.
DeRoy, you know, I'm thinking about, we aired as much of that speech from RFK Jr. last Friday that we could, and I was so enthralled listening to him because he didn't just throw everything that he's ever stood for away to support Donald Trump and be like, I'm MAGA through and through. Give me the copy points and I'll start spitting them. He very intentionally said, we disagree on a lot of things and pretty strongly, but there are things that we agree on, and we've made a decision to focus on those things that we agree on to get something done. And I feel like this is a flashpoint in American history where we could get back to what actually did make us great. The ability and responsibility to, spiritedly disagree on things, but focus on the places where we can come together. That's what unity really is. As opposed to the Democrats' version of unity, which is we're all united, and if you're against us, you are evil and in the enemy. But for RFK Jr. to come out and give people the opportunity to continue to disagree with Donald Trump on main political points, but see the value of the places where they do agree, I feel like America has the opportunity right now to make a really big decision going forward regarding the tribalism that we've been subjected to for 20 years.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, I would not expect, nor would I want to see RFK Jr. Being named Treasury of the Secretary of the Treasury and being in charge of taxes and spending, because my guess is he would be probably well to the left of you and me and our listeners and President Donald J. Trump if he were reelected. But as I say, putting him in charge of something like a anti-censorship commission, putting him in somewhere somewhere like the Food and Drug Administration, where he's expressed a lot of concern and interest about the way that drugs are approved, vaccines are approved, et cetera, that sort of thing. He could be helpful there, while at the same time not putting him in a position where either is going to be squirming and fidgeting every day trying to implement policy with which he disagrees, or even worse, sitting at his desk trying to figure out ways to drag his feet and sabotage President Trump's program. We wouldn't want that. But if he can serve somewhere where he agrees and where he's comfortable and he can make a contribution without undermining the rest of the program, I think that's terrific. And maybe that will calm things down and move us beyond the area now where if you disagree with the Democrats, you're not just wrong or mistaken. You're either Hitler or the son of Hitler, one or the other.
Yeah. It's so dramatic. I have teenage children. and this campaign, like every single day, it's dramatic in kind of the same way as like middle school and high school drama. It's like you come home and the next day this person said that, this person said that, and none of it is productive. You know, I think about these candidates who are trying to become the president, all of the things they campaign on, they never get all of this stuff done. If they're lucky, they get one or two of their, you know, pinnacle policy points accomplished, maybe not even all the way through, but a really good start. It seems as though focusing on the things that unite us is actually the most sensible way to look at things. But the Democrats, they really, this whole idea of a vibes campaign from Kamala Harris, nothing on her website that talks about policy points. More than a month goes by, she doesn't sit down and have a conversation. Do you see the Democrats changing that playbook at all in the next 69 days before the election?
Well, in terms of policy, what she seems to be doing is just absorbing the Trump policy agenda. I mean, she has endorsed no tax on tips. She now says that she used to be against fracking, as she's for fracking. And now apparently she's bragging that she's for the border wall. I guess the border wall is her idea. It's amazing. I mean, the New York
amazing.
Post called her comma chameleon. Now they on her cover, they've got today, they have a picture of Kamala Harris wearing a Make America Great Again hat. It really is amazing. And it's also totally unbelievable. It's much more plausible. Someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says, look, I still disagree with Trump on a lot of things, but we do agree on, you know, points A, B, and C, as opposed to what Kamala Harris is doing, which is basically turning herself into sort of a, you know, Diane J. Trump or something like this, and just sort of co-opting and plagiarizing his entire playbook, which is just not believable. And then if you believe that, I think, you know, don't be surprised if God forbid, she gets elected, and she suddenly over Christmas has a change of heart and says, you know, I talked to the ghost of Christmas Future, and I just take back all that stuff I said. I'm going to go back to my far-left positions from before she got the nomination handed her after the coup d'etat against Joe Biden. So I wouldn't believe this, 11th hour conversion on the part of Kamala Harris, even though she's trying to get everyone to believe that she's sort of the person who wrote the Republican National Platform this year.
So, Roy, last question before we let you go. You think Donald Trump's going to win this election?
I think he will. I think it's going to be very close. I think at some point the American public will, as we get past Labor Day and people get more focused on this, demand to know more about Kamala Harris and her program. I think they'll see that her adoption of one Trump plank after another is just not plausible. She can't hide from the media forever. She's going to do this sit-down interview tomorrow with ABC News, not by herself, but holding the hand of kind of her chaperone, Governor Walz of Minnesota. I mean, if she can't sit down for an interview with a friendly journalist, Dana Bash, I said ABC, it's actually CNN, excuse me, how is she going to sit down at a conference table in Geneva or Paris or wherever else it is with Vladimir Putin or with the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, or with the diplomats from Iran or from anywhere else? I mean, she's got to be tough enough to stand up to some of the most brutal dictators in the country, and it sounds like she's not able to sit down with Dana Bash in peace.
Yeah.
And strength, I might add. And that's very disturbing. So I think people will look at this, and I think they'll look at a lot of her other ideas. Her embrace of the rioters and the George Floyd riots in Minnesota, paying, urging people to put up money to spring them from jail, her support for defunding the police, all these are the far-left ideas. And, I think over the next 68, 69, 70 days, it's incumbent upon all of us to educate the voters on this and just tell people what the truth is about Kamala Harris and her far-left, I would argue Marxist agenda, and help people understand that these are essentially the ideas of Karl Marx presented with, lovely sort of smiling presentation. And those smiles turn to snarls and the sounds of guard dogs before too long if you elect people who believe in the ideas of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, which I think describes a whole lot of the agenda we're seeing from Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, and the rest of the Democrat Party today.
Yeah. Roy, we always love having your insight and look forward to talking to you again next week. Lord knows what will happen between then and now. Who knows?
Even more excitement.
Exactly, which is why we keep having you back. Roy, thank you for being with us today.
All right. Great talk to you.
You too.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Joy Murdoch, who is a nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor with us each Wednesday. Love our conversations with him. We're going to take a quick break. Let's talk when we come back about this question. Have you ever been censored on social media? You got three options, a combination of yes and no. yes, you've been censored and you deserved it. I can't wait to see how many people admit to that. Yes, but it was totally unfair. Or no, you've never been censored. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi. Come vote. I had some messages from people who said that they were trying to comment or see the comments in the YouTube chat and they weren't able to do that. You just got to subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't done that yet. We'd love to have you. Go vote. Leave a comment. We'll be right back. There's nothing I can do.